بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters, you know, when we look at what happens in the world and we look at people who may have confusion in their minds about whatever is going on, you feel sorry for them. You say, well, you know, I wish this person could understand the reality of why something is happening. But when you see the same confusion in the case of people who already have the answers, then the only thing that you can really effectively say to them is, please open your eyes. Take the blindfold off. As they say, it is possible perhaps to make the blind see through medical technology or something, but you can never make the blindfolded see. Because somebody who deliberately puts on a blindfold does not want to see. They don't wish to see. And if someone doesn't wish to see, believe me, there is no force on earth which can force them to see. So therefore, I remind myself and you, let us not be among those are blind who have chosen to blindfold themselves and who remain blindfolded. Now, what I'm talking about is, there is one very, very clear thing which we all know. And that is that in this life, if you want something, you have to do something. It's as simple as that. If you want something, you must do something. There is nothing which comes without action. No matter how small or how big, how insignificant, how significant, how important, how unimportant, whatever it is, everything comes only and only when we choose to do something about whatever it is we want. So nothing comes without action. If you want something, you must do something. We know the ayat of the Quran, which is quoted by a lot of people, many times inappropriately also, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allahu la yughayyiru ma bi qawmin hatta yughayyiru ma bi anfusihim. Allah does not change the good condition of a people until they change it themselves, meaning until they commit so many sins and so on and so forth that their good condition is changed to a bad condition. A easy way to understand that is, nobody can set fire. I can say that nobody can set fire to my house. The only person who can set fire to my house is myself. So if I'm doing something in my house which is dangerous, which results in a fire, what's going to happen? My house is going to burn down. And if my house burns down, then who is now homeless? Who is the one now without a roof over his head? It's me. Now, if I have burnt my house down and I'm now stuck without a roof over my head, who do I want to blame for that? You know, whose fault is it? Quite clearly, it is, if there is any blame to be given, then that blame has to be placed squarely in my lap, because I am the cause of my own demise. I am the cause of my own problem. And I think this is something that we need to seriously look at and understand, because unless we understand this, we cannot take action to change that situation. So it is very important to understand the situation, because unless we understand it, we cannot change our situation. Today, if we believe this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control of everything, number one. Number two, that the decisions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come down in keeping with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in keeping with our own actions. So if my actions are good, then the decisions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that come down in my connection and in connection with my family, society and so on will be good, and vice versa. If I believe that, and that is in fact the truth, then where must I look at if I find that I am in a situation where I am now battered from every side by all kinds of problems? I mean, I have problems with COVID, with this pandemic, which severely restrict my freedom of movement and everything else. I have problems with political situations, where may Allah protect us from ourselves, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has inflicted on us oppressive rulers who only seem to get worse as time passes, and so on. Who must I look for? Who must I look towards to understand that? And the answer is, go look in the mirror. Whatever we are facing today is the result of what and how we have decided to lead our lives. My brothers and sisters, today at least I can say that at least all the people listening to this podcast, because if you are listening to this podcast, it means, number one, that you are adult, number two, that you are educated, number three, that you have enough resources to be able to afford a phone that can play this podcast for you, or a computer that can play this podcast for you. So there are a lot of these assumptions. Now, therefore, I can quite safely say that you are a person who understands at least minimum the halal and haram in his deen, the prohibited and the permitted in his deen. I'm not saying you are a mufti. I'm not saying you understand all kinds of daqaiq of fiqh. I'm not saying you understand all kinds of complex theories. I'm saying very simple. What is permitted? What is not permitted? So please answer for me the following questions. Is alcohol permitted in Islam? Is fornication, adultery, permitted in Islam? Is gambling permitted in Islam? Is borrowing and lending money on interest, is it permitted in Islam? Is oppressing people, is grabbing power, grabbing wealth, other people's wealth, other people's land, other people's freedom, is it permitted in Islam? Is denying inheritance to your own sisters, your own family, is it permitted in Islam? Is oppressing your neighbor, deliberately doing things to your neighbor to cause him or her pain, to cause him or her irritation, is that permitted in Islam? Right? Is buying and selling of haram products, for example, pork, for example, alcohol, for example, pornographic literature, for example, lottery tickets, for example, tobacco products, cigarettes, and so on and so forth, is all of this permitted in Islam? I'm sorry to ask you dumb questions, but I really, seriously, we need to ask ourselves these questions. And if the answer to all of these is no, 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 then the next question is, then why are you doing it? Why are you doing it? You know, seriously, we need to ask these questions. Is it permitted in Islam to have ostentatious weddings, all kinds of showing off of wealth? Is this permissible in Islam? If it is not permissible in Islam, then why do you do it? How come you spend a huge, colossal amount of money on a wedding when you know that the wedding of the best of them, the daughter of Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our beloved Nabi alayhi salam, and between his daughter Fatima and his cousin Ali bin Abi Talib, we know the details of that wedding. The wedding of the best of them, the daughter was the best of them, the son-in-law was the best of them, and better than all of them was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. We know what the situation of that was, and what is the situation of the wedding that you are conducting or funding. Now, it's very simple. It's like the nose on your face, right? It is there. You don't want to see it. That's your choice, but it is there. our actions invite the kinds of decisions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends on us. Just plain dua to say, oh Allah, save me from oppressive rulers. Believe me, it is worthless unless I change my ways. If I am not going to make istighfar, if I am not going to turn towards Allah, if I am not going to make tawbah, if I am not going to change my life situation, if I am not going to change my decisions, if I am not going to change the company that I keep, if I am not going to change the places where I am a member of places which are created and sustained for the stated purpose of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if I am not going to do all these things, then making a dua to say, oh Allah, do not inflict oppressive rulers on us is a worthless exercise. Allah will inflict oppressive rulers on us. Allah will punish us through the hands of people until we come around and accept that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu is my Rabb, and that there is no one other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is my Rabb, and that I obey Allah, and that I believe in Allah, and I believe in my return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us focus on life. Let us focus on our lives in this world, because that is what will decide how our everlasting life is going to be like. Everybody dies. It is not a question of whether you and I will die or not, because we will die. The question is, how did we live our lives when we were alive, and in what state do we die? If we are going to die in a state where we continued to insist on sin, al-israr al-maasi, if that is our situation, then believe me, that is the cause for su al-khatima. That is the cause for a bad ending. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from a bad ending. We ask Allah to give us iman, to give us tawfiq, to live with iman, to die with iman. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us. Allahumma ahfizna min kulli bala'i dunya wa adhabil akhirah. توفنا مسلما وألحقنا بالصالحين وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.